The reading appointed for this morning is from Acts chapter 6. And Stephen, full of grace and power, was doing great wonders and signs among the people. Then some of those who belonged to the synagogue of the freedmen, as it was called, and the Cyrenians, of the Alexandrians, and of those of Cilicia and Asia, rose up and disputed with Stephen. But they could not withstand the wisdom and the spirit with which he spoke. Then they secretly instigated men who said, "We have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and God." And they stirred up the people and the elders and the scribes. And they came upon him and seized him and brought him before the council. And they set up false witnesses who said, "This man never ceases to speak words against this holy place and the law. For we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth will destroy this place and will change the customs that Moses delivered to us." And gazing at him, all who sat in the council saw that his face was like that of a face of an angel. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
In many and various ways, God spoke to his people of old by the prophets.
But now, in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son.
Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, our text picks up this sort of like going to a movie, and you are just a little bit late because you're in line getting some popcorn. So when you get to your seat, the movie has already begun, and you're trying to catch up on how we got to this point in the movie, and you may be asking your wife or kids, whoever's at the movie with you, "Hey, what's going on?" Well, to help you out, let's get the context of where our reading picks up. The main character here is Stephen. He was just chosen along with six other men to assist the disciples in caring for the widows who were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. The disciples needed help in their mercy mission of God's church, and they wanted to focus more on preaching the word of God and prayer and not to wait on tables. Thus, they selected seven men full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom. They did this, and Stephen was one of the seven. It's also interesting that the Bible uses some pretty powerful words and phrases to describe the sort of man this was. In describing Stephen, God uses these words, "full of the Spirit and wisdom, full of faith and the Holy Spirit, full of God's grace and power." Now you get a picture of who this man Stephen is. He is a man full of spirit and wisdom, full of faith given by the Holy Spirit, full of God's grace and power, and did many wondrous and miraculous signs among the people. Well, wait a second. I thought Stephen's job was to wait on tables and distribute food to the widows. Yet here we pick it up in our text that he is doing much more than that. He is preaching, teaching, and doing miracles. Well, maybe if Stephen would have stuck with his job assignment and stayed in his lane, he wouldn't have run into the trouble that we now see happens in our text and beyond as we continue the biblical narrative of Stephen. You see the fact that he truly was a man with a reputation who preceded him. He was exactly what he was said to be. He would be, as we would say today, a man who practices what he preaches. He walks the talk. He's authentic. As our text says, he is a man of grace and power, and his words were powerful as a two-edged sword because he spoke and preached the word of God, not the opinions of Stephen. And they would not have any of it. Our text says opposition arose from the members of the synagogue and the freedmen. These men began to argue with Stephen. But what was the result? They could not stand up against his wisdom or the spirit by whom he spoke. The wisdom of God is foolishness to the world. And those who do not have Christ don't understand. Some scholars believe that Saul, who became Paul, was among those who argued in vain against Stephen, as we know he was present at the end of the narrative when Stephen was martyred for his teaching and preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Well, spoiler alert. My friends, we don't have to look too far to see these same challenges today. Whenever God's word is taught in its truth and purity, there will arise opposition who can't stand and will not stand for God's truth in his word. We know even in our own hearts how we resist and rationalize the law of God when we try to convince ourselves that even though we're not perfect, we definitely know plenty of people who are worse than we are. After all, I know that God's word tells me not to steal, so I don't. Yet when I drive home from work at the International Center and pull up into my driveway, I begin to covet my neighbor's wife, maybe the car or truck or my neighbor's house, or maybe their job. They have better working hours than I do. And while I may not have an affair, as I will draw the line there, but looking and a little lusting doesn't hurt anybody. Well, Jesus reminds us that even those who lust in their hearts have already committed adultery. I know that I am not to lie, but sometimes those little white lies are good and could save a relationship, or maybe not. Jesus tells us to speak the truth in love. We've all been there. We have been cut to the heart and angry with those who have spoken the truth of God's word to us in our lives. We may have joined in the opposition as described in our text and worked with others in our congregation to gossip and begin rumors to destroy those who are speaking the truth. The truth we just don't want to hear. Maybe we secretly persuade some to say, we have heard our pastor say, or we have heard Bob or Sue or whoever it is say this or that and start a rumor because we don't like it. We stir up the people and get a group on our side to silence those who are speaking the truth about God's word to us. We heard they are trying to change our traditions and customs in our church. How dare they do that? We've always done it that way. We get the picture. We know that left to our own sinful desires and flesh, we rebel against God and his word and his messengers. We too judge to be better than others. Once again, our text for today sort of puts us in a bind as we are not only getting into the movie, but now we have to leave early before the ending of how this even ends with Stephen. How does this end? Well, our text ends with, they saw that his face was like the face of an angel. Well, that is a good lead in for the spoiler alert, as we need to know that the rest of the story is not a good ending for Stephen, or maybe it was. Since he would not stop proclaiming the word of God, and the verses after our text record his sermon to these people, we know that the end of the sermon, they don't like it anymore. They simply can't take it anymore. This has to stop. We have to stop this nut job, Stephen. So they drag him out, stone him, and kill him. Yet even in his death, Stephen truly displayed what our text describes as a man filled with the Holy Spirit, power, grace, and wisdom. The last words uttered from his lips show the love of God in Christ he has for all people, even those killing him. Lord Jesus, receive, he says at the end, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And Lord, in love of God in Christ, I pray for even those who kill me. Remember not their sin. And then he fell asleep. Amazing. This reminds us so clearly of Jesus. Stephen in his life and death was pointing everyone, including you and me, to Jesus. Jesus who is filled with power and grace and wisdom and came to save us from our sins. This Jesus that Stephen proclaimed and even prayed to with his dying breath is the same Jesus who suffered a similar story. Jesus, the Son of God and Son of Man, was born for this purpose, to save his people from eternal life, from eternal hell, you and me. Stephen points us to the cross. There we find Jesus who had lived a perfect life for us. He knew no sin, but became sin for us. Offered himself on that cross to die for your sins and my sins. Jesus paid the price for all those times we thought we were better than others. For those times that we did stir up other people with gossip and rumors and backstab them. He did that all for us. That is the gospel Stephen proclaimed and exemplified in his life, even to his death. His life and words point us to Jesus, where we remember that Jesus, who also was falsely accused, and the people were stirred up against Jesus because they didn't like his teaching or preaching either. They too finally were so stirred up that they got the people to lie, gossip, and slander Jesus to get him arrested and eventually crucified. Yet Jesus willingly took all that pain and suffering for you and me. Jesus also prayed from the cross before his death, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And Father, into your hands I commend my spirit." My friends, what joy and comfort we have, knowing that our sins are forgiven by the grace of God for Christ's sake. We too know that when we preach and proclaim the truth of God's word, the enemies will not prevail, because they cannot stand against the wisdom and power of God. We know that it doesn't depend on us. No matter what attacks we face, we know that the Holy Spirit is with us, and that in our baptism, God has made us men and women full of the Holy Spirit, full of wisdom, full of power, full of grace. He made us his children, giving us forgiveness, life, and salvation. This message that Stephen died for, the message that Jesus is Savior and no one comes to the Father except through him, is the message we proclaim in our words and in our actions. May God grant his Holy Spirit that we also may never stop preaching and proclaiming the good news that Jesus is the Christ. In him is gladness amid all sadness. And when people see us, may they see us with faces like angels. Amen.